Hello and welcome to another edition of TechWrap, online at techwrap.net. You can find us on iTunes, you can find us on player.fm. We're also on this site called Omni as well, if you're keen to have a bit of a squeeze at it. Hello, Will.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going all right.
What's Omni?
It's been a busy week. So Omni's like an audio sharing platform. A few of the radio stations and other podcasters are starting to use it. One of the guys that I used to talk to on the radio was Steve Malk, and he does a good TV podcast, and he's online
there
as well.
A TV podcast?
Yes, a podcast about TV shows.
Oh, and I was isn't that just like a video?
podcast.
Yeah, no, I get you.
And he also speaks to some TV personalities as well.
So it's somewhere
podcasts.
You can go to discover shows or things you might be interested in. So it's a platform where you can find stuff. So we can search. There's a category called tech. We can click it and then you'll find us.
We'll be in there
We'll be the only one worth listening to there. In that category.
Definitely.
So it's new, is it? Or it's been around for a little bit?
It's fairly new. It's taking its time to build itself, but
gaining traction.
It's gaining
now
traction
that we're
around
on
the
it,
place.
We'll really draw the numbers.
Yeah. We're also on Twitter as well.
Can they handle the influx that we're about to bring to the website?
They've got more money than me anyway, so.
Maybe we should tweet them to say, be ready, maybe get a couple of extra servers up and running.
Perhaps.
Twitter?
Yeah, you can follow us, TechWrap Podcast is the one to follow us.
And then you'll
get
our awesome tweets, like.
You put me on the spot here.
I thought you would have one off the top of your head because I know we have some really awesome stuff.
I can't
Did
remember
the last
podcast.
Did you put that picture of me up there?
Did I put the picture of you?
No, it didn't make the
Which
cut.
Which picture of you?
It might have had some nudity in it, so you might have censored that and made the call that no, let's not put that up.
Yeah, no, that one didn't go up. Will said he's looking forward to 5 p.m.
Yes.
Not because it's Friday, but because we record this week's podcast.
See, tweets like that. Beautiful.
At the cutting edge.
Awesome. What's been happening in tech this week? Well, what's been on your radar, Mr. Trent?
One that we touched on lightly last week was ad blocking software.
Yeah.
And in specific, AdBlock Plus. And how
are we talking about the add-on or the standalone web browser that they've come up with?
Are we going to talk about the plug-in, I should say.
Yes, plug-in, add-on. Yeah, there's various formats that blocks ads. You can get it on your phone, on your browser, Chrome, Firefox.
And this one centers around Chrome because Chrome is owned by Google and Google owns YouTube.
Yes.
So the ad block software is not working like it should on YouTube.
Good. Wait, I mean, that's not good.
The people who don't want to see ads on YouTube are starting to see ads.
Why is
and
that?
They're seeing longer ads because Google has been able to detect that this AdBlock Plus extension has been installed in their software and have decided to punish the users who are using it.
So is this the thing where they were trying to circumvent it altogether? Is this like a precursor to that?
It's probably a precursor to a circumvention.
Because I remember AdBlock Plus, back in the day, all they did was blanket try and block ads as much as possible.
Mm.
And then they came with the thing, I can't remember, it was a while ago now, but it's we'll block intrusive advertising but allow some non-intrusive ads. And that was a big ordeal. So that kind of indicated that maybe some advertisers or big platforms had a chat with them
and said, "We don't like this.
Yes,
here's some money."
So now I'm thinking maybe, you know, that's again AdBlock Plus sort of maybe sort of bending to the whims of YouTube and not fully detecting and blocking ads, but then punishing you.
They're probably not bending at the moment, but
maybe
very, very soon they will think about bending given that their users are being punished in the way of watching longer ads.
Well, there are alternatives out there, if you are listening, to AdBlock Plus.
There are other types.
There are a few others. So if that one isn't working for you, you try something else. That's very interesting.
I have it
installed. And is this only new? Because I'm going to go home and watch some videos and see if I get punished.
This is within recent weeks
Maybe I haven't come across it. But let us know if you have.
I'm getting text messages while I'm on air.
You're a very popular
person. I was actually ready to show you the fact that we were talking in our previous edition quite lightly on the fact that Firefox was releasing a version for iOS, and it was only going to be testing for New Zealand at one stage.
What?
They opened the testing for about a day and received, and they were blanketed with people. So they closed it very quickly, and then very quietly they released Firefox on iOS for everybody. So I do now have a copy of Firefox on my phone, and I've got to say, comparing it with Google's Chrome variant on iOS, this one has been working the best.
Really? Well, that's a big claim.
It is a claim.
You're an avid Chrome user.
I am.
And now have you installed any add-ons? You can install add-ons.
I've not installed any add-ons in this at the moment.
You should install AdBlock.
But it is maybe not though if you're
going to watch YouTube videos.
Yeah, it's working very comfortably right now, and it's working a lot better than the other variants have. Because I've tried Chrome on there, and what happens is Chrome gets unstable over time. Like, because I leave apps open in the memory for a while, and I don't turn my phone off at night. I put it on silent and dock it. And so the app stays open for multiple days.
Mm.
And Chrome gradually destabilizes to a point where it just becomes buggy and keeps crashing.
And implodes.
Until you close it completely and reopen it. The one thing I do miss out of not being on Chrome, though, is the incognito tabs.
Oh, isn't there a private browsing tab?
There's no private browsing for Firefox the phone at the moment. But I'd say, you know, it won't be too far away given the fact that they've released it at this stage anyway.
Yeah, that's weird. I'm sure it'll get, I mean, if it's only brand new, I'm sure that'll come.
Yeah.
Because I'm pretty sure there is a private tab, so you'll get that. But why do you need a private tab? What are you browsing in that tab?
Say no more. Say no more to that one.
Browsing twitter.com/TechWrapPodcast.
So there's a couple of browsing-based stories.
Wow, I just can't believe that.
There's some on energy, and this is great, from researchers at the University of Michigan. So solar panels, traditionally flat things that you put on one side of your roof, or if you're fortunate enough to have a bit of money, you can set up a stand to put it on and have motorized systems that allow it to turn around and get the
with
best part of the sun. Yes. but some of us aren't fortunate like that. We don't have that sort of money. Investing in solar is a spend as it is without going that far.
Yes.
So here's something that may actually end up developing to, you know, it's something that can aid many users. These cells that the University of Michigan have been developing are a flexible cell. And essentially what they have been able to do is, given that there's gaps between each of the cells, they've managed to put slits in between each of the cells. And then you can essentially twist each side of this flexible cell and make the cells ripple. Or warp, you could say.
Okay.
And so by doing that, you can get at least 20 to 40% more efficiency in collecting energy.
Really?
Than a traditional flat cell.
How is this not being discovered earlier than this point? Because solar's been around for a while.
Decade now? So in its full pride, like full pace. I mean, solar has been around for a long time, but
the sun's been around for a while.
It's been around. It's been around, but solar technology has been around for a long time. But the commercial success of solar has probably only been seen for like the last decade or so. But nothing has been discussed like this before. What you're going to have to do to make this a commercial product is this is going to have to be mounted in some sort of casing. It's going to have some sort of motors to be able to twist the cells.
Sounds expensive.
But it could be something that could, you know, benefit many users in the future. So yeah, it's a fantastic
little
idea.
Do we have like a timeline of sort of, you know, when we'll see sort of commercial production of this and when I can get it in my backyard?
Well, it's only proof of
concept. Make it operate my beer fridge.
That's a nice idea.
Keep it cool. Solar-powered beer fridge.
Solar-powered beer fridge. Because I hear beer fridges are one of the things people complain about with power.
Yeah. So this problem solved.
This is only in its early stages of development, so they haven't even put a timeline for fear of not being able to deliver, I guess.
Maybe they should do a Kickstarter.
Well, yeah. Anything's possible there, isn't it? But it's a great little idea. I'm chuffed with that one.
There's been so many developments with energy and increasing in efficiency and from, you know, battery cells, CPUs to solar to everything. It's crazy. What next? We're going to come up with a warp drive. I feel it.
Warp drive?
We'll be off the planet. What will the warp drive do? Star Trek. Warp drive.
I've never watched Star Trek.
What? Wait a second.
I have never... Yes.
Star Trek, Star Trek Enterprise, yes. Star Trek The Next Generation, all the Star Trek movies, the latest Star Trek movies are the biggest like blockbusters ever over the past 2 years, 3 years. And you've never seen a single TV show episode late on TV or some random rerun or a movie or a trailer?
No.
Do you even know what the Enterprise looks like?
I'll just give myself one of these.
What is this? I don't think we can do this podcast anymore together. What? That's unbelievable. What about Star Wars?
I've seen some Star Wars.
Some Star Wars. Some. You haven't even seen all of them.
Please don't hold that against me.
There's so many, like... Oh, I don't even know what to say. Facebook's been in the news this week.
You didn't see this one coming at all, did you?
That's unbelievable. You didn't even know what a warp drive was.
No. Anyway.
We've lost followers. We've lost listeners, I think.
I think people can...
Very passionate people.
I think people can appreciate my passion for technology beyond not seeing Star Wars or Star Trek.
There's so many tech stuff in that. And if you look back at the old TV shows, stuff that they faked is now sort of leading... technology now, like it creates ambition through imagination that we can maybe achieve one day.
Here's one. I watched Thunderbirds.
That's great. Is that with puppets?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. The futuristic, what was that, 60s or 70s puppet thing? Yeah.
Let's talk about Facebook. Right.
Facebook?
There was one big thing.
Oh, the dislike button.
You ruined it. Spoilers. My punchlines went straight to it. But basically, it was everywhere, right? Everyone was reporting on this. And
no
like
one would have missed it.
News feed I was looking at was just everywhere. It's like Facebook's getting a dislike. Well, Facebook may get a dislike button.
May.
And I was like, I don't know what to think about this. And everyone was so, the way that media sources treated this, thought for sure.
Yeah, well, they
were going to get a dislike button. They?
I mean, media sources like the ones that promote Kim Kardashian and who else do we have? Music celebrities. They're the ones who promote this is what's going to happen in the next iPhone. So, of course, they jump on that one and go, oh, Facebook's getting a dislike button.
And everyone got all hyped up and on board on that. But I don't know, maybe if they took a little bit of time to sort of
dig into
a direct quote from the CEO of Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg, which went something along the lines of, we don't want to turn Facebook into a forum where people are voting up or down posts.
Yeah.
So he's kind of clearly saying that there's not going to be a dislike button or a thumbs down
button. Yeah.
Because
he doesn't want it to be this.
Oh no! It was we didn't want to just build a dislike button because we don't want to turn Facebook into a forum where people are voting up or down posts. Mm-hmm. So he's literally right there saying we didn't want to just build a dislike button. And everyone was like, Facebook's going to get a dislike button. Yeah. And the dislike button thing is very confusing because what if I make a post that's like, sad day today at my mother's funeral.
Mm.
And then somebody dislikes that because they're trying to empathize, but then it's like, are they disliking the fact that I'm at my mother's funeral?
It's cloudy.
It's confusing. It's not clear.
It's cloudy, very cloudy.
Anything you say that's sad, you can't tell whether they dislike that you're sad or if they're disliking the situation. Could be a lot of trolling going on with that. And I know I'm the type of person back in my Facebook heyday, where I used to use it quite a lot. Not so much these days. But I was kind of like the like troll. I'd like everything just for the sake of like. I'd even like my own posts. Like whenever I would reply to anything, I'd just instantly
like my own
all my posts. And then if I was replying to like a thread or other comments, I'd like every single, like I'd just spam like. So if they did have a dislike button, I'd do that with dislike. I'd reply with something and I'd instantly dislike my own comment.
It's a horrible idea.
And we'll never see a dislike button like we see a like button.
In real life, you're the guy in the corner that's having fun with himself.
Yeah, I just laugh at myself and have fun. Yeah, what you said. There has been some speculation that the way to empathize with someone in a post, such as "it's a very sad day today," you know, for whatever reason, to express maybe your empathetic side in your dislike of the potential situation, there has been some speculations instead of a, you know, really precise dislike button,
mm-hmm.
we might see some sort of sad or empathetic emojis.
Empathetic
instead
emojis.
Of a dislike button,
that could actually work better
emojis,
than this idea of a dislike button.
Like maybe
which
just
I don't
like
think
an
upset work.
Face or like a some flowers, or can you have emojis on Facebook or no, without sort of circumventing it? It's not built right into it, is it?
You can do it, but it's been added on later on.
Little things, yeah.
Yeah.
And I guess there isn't too much, I mean, that could happen, and this kind of makes that, reinforces the fact that we might see some sort of empathetic emoji in the form of a dislike button, mm-hmm. instead of, because today Facebook is now joining as a full member of the Unicode Consortium.
Have you heard about this? Consortium.
This is a group of companies that sets standards for character encoding across, so they can standardize characters, mm-hmm. across multiple operating systems.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, I send you an emoji from my Android phone, you'll get that on your iPhone and you'll still get the same emoji. So there's no sort of lost in translation.
Yeah. Which is a good thing.
This governing body.
There you go.
That set the standards for all these things. And one of those things that they set the standard for is
emojis.
Yes. So all these groups, you have to be very sort of big and powerful to be a full member. So Facebook joined the likes of Google, Microsoft, Apple, Yahoo, Adobe, and maybe a few others. But now all these guys can all get together. Well, they dominated with Flash, I guess.
Oh,
the web,
yeah, I suppose so.
And
yeah.
all their other various suites. So now these guys get together and now they can vote on these standards,
mm-hmm.
and Facebook's joining them. So they can have say over what emoji. So we might even see like a Facebook emoji now. I wouldn't doubt that in the future. Stuff like that. So maybe that reinforces the fact that we might get an emoji, inverted commas, dislike button.
Uniform poop emoticons.
Yeah.
Across all platforms.
Keep it the same poop. The poop I send you from my phone has to be the same one you receive. Otherwise, it's just very confusing. That's interesting, is it not?
It is interesting.
Facebook,
it just shows
you how much more powerful Facebook is becoming on the web. That they are now getting sort of involved in these sort of, I guess some people might see them as trivial, but it's kind of a big deal.
Even though they're
basically setting standards for internet communication.
Even though they are social media, they are a flex as challenging as Google these days.
They're getting right up there and they're not going to stop. And they're trying to get in sort of everywhere. Mm. And I was just looking at some feed I came across. It was, join us for the Facebook Q&A session with the cast of, what was it, Citizen Mars or something. But I was like, Facebook Q&A?
Yeah.
Is that a thing now? Like, how does that operate?
And they got in on the Periscope style thing as well. And
what was that called?
And people can broadcast live on Facebook. So,
was that mentions?
Large pages.
Yeah, allowing like journalists to broadcast live mention with the mentions app. So they're trying to do video. And then I was reading some.
There's news publishing as well.
Yeah. And I saw this thing with Facebook Signal? Have you heard this?
Which one's the Signal one?
Facebook Signal. They're basically trying sort of to get journalists together where they can sort of tally up and aggregate trending media. So it sort of offers them a dashboard where they can follow emerging topics and they can track the chatter around various issues and things that are happening on the web, and then they can sort of set up pages and report back out to people. They can even do like live streaming feeds. You know, like most people go for Twitter for that sort of stuff. You can post like breaking news, emerging events, or you'd follow an event along on Twitter in real time.
And the live streaming has been happening on Periscope for news outlets as well.
So
lately.
Now Facebook are trying to get on board with this. They want that to be a source for journalists to go to and for people to, you know, follow along live events instead of Twitter. And they call it Facebook Signal.
Jeez.
It's crazy.
This is going mad.
And if you're a reporter, you can search out like hashtags. You can search specific locations.
And it's like a dashboard rather than just getting stuck with whatever's in Facebook.
Signal will be available starting today for any journalist who requests access from local bloggers to national TV anchors.
We better put a request in to see what this is all about.
Can we do this?
I could put one in based on criteria.
Facebook Signal. Get in there. See what it's all about. Report back to us. What else is there that they got going on? Like the Mentions app.
They've got the ability to, with the emergency events happening around in areas.
Facebook instant articles.
Flag that you're okay.
And they came out with all their new publisher tools with like the video sort of stuff. And then I was reading something from one of the Facebook execs that were basically saying along the lines of, in 3 to 4 years or 2 to 3 years, Facebook will be predominantly video. It will be like your video source. There's people like all live blogging, live tweeting, reporting Facebook, and then just commenting on videos.
So
they want to be like YouTube, but
still a traditional.
It's not even like hanging out with
platform.
Mates. No, it's not even. It seems like it's so far from what it originally was.
It's going away very quickly.
And we've touched on this before. Like you go through your newsfeed, and half of it's just stories people have like sort of reposted, or you hardly ever see the good old days of had a tomato and cheese sandwich for lunch today. It was delicious. It's all just random stories and news and articles
Just taking a quick glance at mine tonight.
Oh my God. And you don't even have ad blocks, so it's 10 times worse. Like all the right side is advertising and trending.
Yep.
Maybe a few. What am I looking at here? Yeah, it's all just like groups and feeds
I've got a group posting.
eBay ads.
Ad. then an actual posting from a person.
You have to scroll down so much to actually
then
find
another post
from a real person. It's a video.
And then it's a share.
Share video.
A share.
Share.
A group.
Group.
Another friend putting photos up.
How can you manage
photos.
It?
Another group.
Yeah. It's crazy.
You get
and now with all this other stuff, they want it to be, news, live feed, video streaming, then maybe for people to publish exclusive music video trailers, there was speculation of. It's crazy.
They want people to leave Facebook open longer 24/7 than they currently do.
Facebook homepage.
And Facebook to be one of the pivotal items that people get up to.
Genius.
When they start their day and then close when they go to bed at night. That's what they want.
I wish. Well, it kind of already was, but now they're just sort of growing out into every other area that other companies have sort of. They've seen what everyone else is doing. Like, how can we, like,
they
YouTube?
Want,
like, how can we be more like, how can we get YouTube's audience?
They want them to go down.
How can we get Twitter's audience? You know, how can we email?
We don't want this Periscope
mob. Email?
They do have an email function. Yeah. You can set up a Facebook email address. No one uses it. But
maybe we'll see Facebook email. Like a Gmail, but
no.
Facemail.
No.
Facemail.
Both Gmail and Hotmail in my eyes are not ideal.
I'm
going to
send
places.
You a Facemail.
A Facemail.
It's like half Snapchat, half email.
That almost sounds like something pretty wrong.
Facemail.
Yeah. Talk about green energy. One more green energy thing. In Russia, the adoption of electric vehicles is not high, given the kind of country they are, their economic status and whatnot. They've sold maybe 500 cars in the time that they've been selling electric cars over the last few years.
500 in the whole country.
Yeah, yeah. But the government has decided to make a mandate to say that all petrol stations will need electric vehicle chargers, and they need to be in by November next year.
So this is fully passed now, is it? It's a thing that's 100% going to be in. Is there any way that it won't pass or could get sort of shut down or vetoed out? Because this seems like crazy.
It's crazy, but that country is crazy as well. So
it's a it's actually it's, a thing. It's a real thing now.
It's a thing. It's a thing. It's a thing. So, you know, cost of setting these things up can be $1,500 to $51,000, depending on how much you want to spend.
I know you're no legal expert.
Yes.
But in this mandate, does anywhere say a specific brand has to be installed, a minimum price point has to be set?
No.
So that's the thing that then we'll see everyone's going for the cheapest option because there's no point because there's 500 cars.
Yes.
And then people that do maybe want to charge there will take forever to charge it because they're the cheapest and the least efficient. And then, you know, and because Russia is so cold as well, it's not even going to hold that
charging,
rate of a charge.
Charging doesn't hold, does it? Yeah.
I don't know what they're thinking. Is this like a publicity stunt to show the world that they're sort of really strong about going green?
Maybe it is, but why would you want to try and go green when the largest nuclear related incidents have happened in the country that is trying to go green? You know?
I don't know. When I think nuclear incidents, I think Fukushima in Japan.
Yes,
recently.
that one is one as well. Yeah. But I mean, that country has not recovered from the incidents of stuff that happened in the 80s. So I don't know whether going green
despite everything,
is giving the world
like nuclear
a good example.
Apparently is like one of the cleanest forms if you can dispose of the waste efficiently or there's safely.
Well, the problem is
bar meltdowns.
Yeah, the problem is
like the process is pretty clean.
You don't call that disposing of stuff.
No, meltdowns isn't, but like, you know, the whole production of it thing is good. It's a lot better than, you know, burning coal and
the problem with it is there's far too many ifs involved in it to be safe.
There were talks about maybe getting a nuclear power plant here in Australia.
In Sydney, they were talking about
really
it at one
in
stage.
Sydney? In Sydney, of all places. Why wouldn't you get it over WA somewhere?
Yeah, out in the middle of the...
On Ayers Rock.
Like where they're installing those NBN satellite stations. They're just putting them in the middle of Joe Blow nowhere.
I wonder if you could have one under the ocean, build a plant underwater.
There's more ifs associated with that.
That would be kind
because
of,
if something goes wrong,
you'd probably have a few groups protesting that, wouldn't you?
Yes, yes.
Straight into the ocean.
More than the ones on the ground. More than the ones on the ground, man.
Yeah, it's crazy. Hey, here's another bit of news. Tell me, confirm this. I don't know. iOS 9.
iOS 9. Out. It's out.
You can now download it.
It was available in Australia as of 4 a.m. on Thursday morning.
Did you spontaneously wake up for this update like you did for the iPhone launch press conference?
I admit that I spontaneously woke up at 3:30 in the morning, but I went back to sleep because the relevance to me was quite low given the fact that what I had to do in the days before it is I was running the beta version, and unfortunately, I had to update to 9.1 beta. Which means...
Yes, and this is what we were talking about. What was it, 9.1? Maybe the middle finger emoji?
Yeah.
Do you have that?
I don't know. No, I
have
don't
a
think...
Look.
I
check your emojis.
I don't think so.
I need to know.
I don't think so. I think this is a later update to the official 9.
Okay.
Mine is the 9.1 beta. Where's emojis on this thing? See, I don't... Oh, not Siri.
Have a look.
I don't
I would be
do these things very
See
often.
See if you can find a middle finger emoji. Just have a quick look.
Anyway, so I couldn't find it.
No,
it
wasn't there.
I couldn't find emojis. I don't.
Oh, you don't even know the word. Isn't it on your keyboard somewhere when you send a message?
I don't do emojis. I don't have an emoji keyboard. Look, I even...
Hasn't seen Star Wars, Star Trek, maybe seen one Star Wars movie, doesn't know where the emoji keyboard is.
Here's a funny one. My mother actually said to me the other night, because she...
She probably knows where the emojis are.
She texts her friends and her friends send emojis to her, and she goes, I want to send those things to her. And she's like, how do I do that? And I'm like, I don't know. I don't do these things.
Well, that's your homework for tonight.
I use my phone when I text people to text people. I don't send pictures of friggin' poop and smiley faces and all
it's
that
the future, man.
Crap.
Get on board.
I need to get on board. I sound too homework. Old school now. Anyway, where were we? We're 9.1. So I'm on 9.1 beta. Which
so you've skipped the official update.
Which means nine. I had to go to the reason I had to go to 9.1 is because many of us beta testers who were using 9.0 experienced a nice little pop-up message in the week leading to the actual full release. It was that frustrating that I had to update to 9.1. So this one here, which says, a new iOS update is now available. Please update from the iOS 9 beta. So unlike all the people who were able to get it on launch day, I actually had to step up to the beta 9.1, and then that invalidated my chances of updating just straight away by pressing install to the official 9.
So how can you now get back to the stable version?
Okay, now I need to make as it stands, they'll probably provide an update later on, but as it stands, if I'd like to be on the official 9 version right now, I have to make a backup of my phone completely. Then I have to grab an image of the official 9 release and go to my computer and re-image my phone and then restore all my backups.
That's a lot of work. Just stay on the beta.
That's what I'm doing.
Test the
That's
feature.
What I'm doing, man.
So official iOS 9 release today.
But WatchOS 2 was not released.
It's a bit later, I think, isn't it?
They've delayed
a bit
it.
Later in the month.
They believe they've got some security concerns that they need to plug. Whether it's security concerns or just issue, you know, major issues that are affecting it to the point that they don't want to see this in the public eye, which is probably a very good move. It's delayed for the time being. They wouldn't give a time frame as to how long at this point. Kind of made me frown because I was ready for all these things I'd seen on the keynote that you
so
could do,
excited.
Like changing the pictures on the watch faces and integrating new apps into the watch face. Like, you know, what was one of the apps they were doing? I'm just trying to think. I can't even think. Well, that's good, isn't it?
was the Facebook messaging a new app coming?
Integrating stock exchange information into the... Oh, no, Stock Exchange is already in it. Anyway, you could integrate some app features into it and Facebook as well. And you were able to integrate those into the watch face so they were there right in front of you when you look over.
Beautiful.
But
a bit delayed, though.
It's a bit delayed for the time being. And apparently, I am going to cough again.
That's all right. Go for your life. Apparently, 12% of iPhone users only after about half a day, which is how many hours? 12. Oh, this is a bit of math for you. 12 hours.
Star Wars.
12%.
Star Trek.
Can't do math.
Can't do math.
iOS 9 already has 12% of its user base after 12 hours on iOS 9.
Hey,
that's crazy.
Ridiculous, isn't it?
Smash those updates out. And here's a nice little tie-in from earlier. Apparently, the most popular apps on iOS 9, or the top apps, are ad blockers. So the first thing people have done after installing the new update is go straight ad block.
Well, you know what this proves?
People hate ads.
Yeah. And it also proves...
there needs to be a better method of advertising than there currently is.
It proves that they're advanced users as well.
Well, I mean, because ad block is so simple now. You know, people set and forget type of stuff. You can be a bit more advanced.
But
I wouldn't exactly call iPhone users advanced.
I'm disappointed in you, son. Have you actually walked around the workplace and by friendly conversation, been able to see that the large majority of users don't know how to do advanced things with computers and tend to just
Well, I think it's
keep
like
it
a
vanilla?
Combination of people maybe not that interested in about it and software companies making things as easy as possible for people so they don't have to think. You know what I mean? Like the most intuitive, easy to understand interface where it's like it does everything for you.
Yeah.
You don't need to delve into settings. So a combination of those two things leads to not that many sort of advanced users. Because back in the day, right, to get anything done, you'd actually have to dig into the settings. You'd have to play around with the preferences. You'd probably have to do some initial setup work before you got the app or program or bit of software running to its fullest potential, you'd have to be a part of that setup process.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's all kind of all done for you. So kind of a lot of that learning now, I think, is not being taught. It's kind of weird in an age where everything is becoming more sort of tech advanced.
Mm.
It's also sort of people aren't that sort of tech savvy, I guess. They know how to use stuff really easily, but that's because of the design. But beyond that, yeah, it's...
Another observation, we're being cotton-wooled straight out of the box due to all the percentage of people who don't know how to and don't care about setting things up properly.
There might be hope. I saw there's a school in New York is now making computer science mandatory as one of its subjects. But I remember there always used to be like a computer studies, but if the teachers aren't any good, there's no point. I don't think I learned anything. We'd learned how to open up a CD-ROM drive, and now I don't even know what a CD-ROM drive is.
Cause, you know, one of the most notable things I remember from one of my computing classes?
What's that?
When the teacher was away, we played Doom Network on the network.
We just played versus each other in Doom.
That's not work.
Hey, do you know Apple's first app? Android app is now out on the Android marketplace.
Yes, I do know about this one.
It's a little app called Move to iOS. And apparently it's just like a ripoff of another app that already kind of, it was called a different name, but what it did was transferred all your data. It made it effortless and seamlessly transferred all your Android data to Android.
Yep.
Now, Apple kind of bought that and they've released it. So technically it's their first app, but it was a kind of a clone of another app.
You know what this smells of?
But it's all right.
It smells of the same situation that Microsoft had with Outlook. They did not develop the original application, which is now Outlook. That was another company, but they saw that it had plenty of merit, bought them out, restyled it so it suited all their other platforms, and now it is Outlook.
You see this all the time.
But they are—I've got to hand it to them though. They are actively developing it and providing regular updates within, you know, a month. I've seen one every 2 weeks so far. And the other thing I've been happy with them for so far is the fact that they have a version for the Apple Watch.
The Apple Watch.
And I can keep tabs on that without.
Well, what do you think about an Apple op? An Apple op.
Apple op.
An Apple
I don't want an Apple op,
Apple
son.
App on the Android Play Store. What sort of reviews do you think they'll be getting?
Negative. Negative. Apparently because all the trolls would get on
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Apparently there's about maybe 800 5-star reviews compared to about 3,000 plus 1-star reviews. And there's some great comments here on the app. I'm just going to read a few to you because I think you are going to enjoy these.
Yep.
So these are reviews by people, may or may not be Android users, on the Apple Move to iOS app, now available on the Android Play Store. This is a time travel app. Ever wish you could go back in time? Well, now you can. Experience all the features you have had for years all over again, but this time in slow, drawn-out increments. That's going back to Apple phones, of course, from Android. I installed this and then realized that I could just use NFC to pair the two handsets and transfer all my stuff across. Can't I? Oh, wait, no. I can't because despite my Android phones having NFC for the last 4 years, it's somehow only a feature on the newest iOS.
Keep going.
If Apple was a country, it would be North Korea.
Burn.
Looks like Apple wants to attack our freedom and control everything we do on our phone and also charge us something for it in the process that I can't say. So there you go. I might, why would anyone transfer off Android to Apple, Trent?
Because they don't feel comfortable using the Android phone. There are people who like to try both camps, but are not advanced users and find that it is more comfortable to use iOS, which I do understand. Having been a user who has used both Android and iOS, And not being biased to one side, I liked stuff that I saw in Android, but I had also spent some time on iOS, and there's things that just made me feel more at home on iOS than an Android phone.
Immediately uninstalled due to fear of fire, # Apple fail.
Not mentioning the Samsung failures that have eventuated in fire.
Tried to use this and got sick. I attempted to use this app, and instead of data migration, I got Ebola.
WTF. Really?
When I downloaded the app, it immediately prompted me to have full body reconstruction surgery in order to appear more like a sheep.
Oh, golly. Burn from Android users. Burn from Android users. That's all it is. Have you got anything positive there?
Dear Apple, you suck.
I said, did you have anything positive
there? You have beautiful hardware, but software only a blind idiot would use, and all your best software features were taken from Android. This software doesn't even follow the Android design specs.
All right.
Terrible app. It's also incompatible with most of my devices.
What?
And there are about 3,000 more.
I don't want to hear the next 3,000.
But I mean, who thought that would be a good idea? Why call the app Move to iOS? Call it something else, like easy data migration or something, or just something like that. You know, don't call it iOS. Don't draw attention to the fact
to the app. Full stop. Just tell people who actually want to move from Android to iOS, click this link, and it'll go straight to the store for the app.
Yeah.
And then you'd have less trolls having their heyday on it.
What were they expecting, though?
Well, yeah.
Maybe. Do you reckon the most of those positive reviews have come from Apple users or people maybe possibly in the employ?
It may have come from people in the lurch, because why would an iOS user have a Play Store account?
Because they're sick of the Android phone and they wanted to switch over.
But I mean, they wouldn't come, like, unlike the negative comments who are Android devotees, you wouldn't have an iOS user signing up to the Play Store just to give it a pro, like a plus, would you?
Also, my micro USB would not fit because Apple uses the old, what is it? What do they call it? Lightning
connector since iPhone 5. Wow.
I attempted to switch to iOS (apparently zombies ate my brain) and my iPhone 3G would not accept my data.
Who has an iPhone 3G?
I don't.
3G is like the first phone they ever created. What the? This is rubbish.
Yeah. I imagine they kind of they make these things up.
Yeah.
Speaking of, my phone is almost dead, 1%.
That's not good at all. Be about time for us to do some...
Quick
headlines.
Quick head. Geddes, do you have some quick head?
Do I have lines? Some quick head?
Lines. Yes.
You go first.
All right. Here's one. Sharp will put on sale the first 8K TV.
But
8K.
But 4K only just...
I don't even know a single person that has a 4K TV at the moment. But it doesn't matter. That's old news. 4K is old news. You're living in the past. 8K is where it's at. Get out, get one today. Maybe pre-order, put away a bit of a deposit.
But they're not out as such yet,
guess,
are they?
Guess how
they're
much?
Limited sales.
Guess how
right
much?
Now.
Guess how much you can get one for?
More than $10,000.
The bargain price of about $130,000.
Wow. And there's no 8K vision available yet.
No, there's barely any 4K.
Yeah, I know.
Some on YouTube, you can sometimes get the max res. You see that 2K res out there, which will look great on a nice 4K monitor. But
that
aside
is ridiculous.
From on a personal computer, you're not going to really be able to. And like, even here in Australia, we'd have trouble streaming that if you're not on the NBN.
Yes, you would have to be on some sort of fibre-based connection, non-NBN, to be able to comfortably
Our infrastructure
watch
can't keep
4K.
Up with the tech advancements. We are becoming more and more like being left behind in the tech world here in Australia.
Thank you to our former communications, now Prime Minister.
Made a few changes to the original
Malcolm
plan.
Turnbull and the government itself for deciding on fibre to the node, which doesn't
insane.
Work as effective.
Because, I mean, we will get to that point where we can just have all these epic video resolutions, but we won't be. And the file size will be so huge, like we can't even download them to watch them later, let alone stream. It'll take us like 2 days to download a 50 gigabyte movie or something, or 65 gigabyte. We need to work on our compression. That's crazy.
But it's disappointing when you start talking compression, because of course then you lose some features.
That's why you get
from the content.
Working on like some really good stuff that gets the file size down without losing the quality.
Like the AAC Plus of audio provides half the bandwidth but allows the sound.
Audio.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Snapchat. I know you use Snapchat.
Only just. I'm a basic user of Snapchat.
Well, sometimes you'll get a snap from someone and you kind of sort of half see it and then maybe you want to see it again.
Yes.
Can you do that?
Well, in the most recent version, you can replay once.
One a day, I think it is.
Is it once?
Well, one time
a day. Okay.
Per snap.
I had to replay your Snapchat from earlier on. I was on the radio and he heard me in a shop. And he walked up to the radio.
Moment of fame.
And did a Snapchat of me.
Brilliant. And everyone was just sitting around listening, like primary school kids at story time around that radio. Well, Snapchat is now charging 99 cents for replays. So I think you can get a series of 3 replays.
So if you.
For 99 cents.
So once you go beyond one replay, they say, all right, if you'd like to replay, you can pay some money.
Yeah. It's pretty bad, isn't
it? Who wants to pay to replay?
And that defeats the whole purpose of Snapchat's original inception, which was to take a photo, to set a limit, then never to be seen again ever.
Yeah.
And now they're like, oh, yeah, view it as many times as you want for a dollar.
And now they're saying, well, you can pay us and we'll open our library to you.
So what's the point now? You know, people like screenshotting all the apps out there, like basically allow you to screen record. Now you can replay. It's completely defeated the purpose. Why don't we just go to some other app that just lets us send a video and then we can watch it anytime we want, or pictures. I don't understand.
Hey,
have you updated your Snapchat app?
Why don't we
lately?
Use Facebook instead?
Facebook, yeah. Facebook media sharing.
Have I updated
Facebook? It? No, Snapchat.
Not Snapchat. Snapchat. I did update.
Have you seen the new the face modification snaps that you can do now?
See, I only have 11 apps that haven't been
have
installed.
Have you
seen recently.
That? If you take a picture of your face,
I have
you can
seen
hold
this.
It down.
I have seen this.
And you
different
can do all
characters.
Sorts of wacky things to send on.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Check it out if you haven't. You're using Snapchat. Apparently, they acquired another company that did this sort of stuff, but it was a separate app called Luxury.
Luxury.
So Snapchat have acquired this company and implemented all their sort of features into Snapchat. So have a play around with that. Check it out. Do some crazy stuff and you'll see a picture that Trent's taken that looks nothing like him and screenshot it and then post it to Twitter. Do it really crazy so we don't even know it's you.
Well,
we'll see that on Twitter later.
Me.
For sure. What, show me.
No.
Show me the picture. Well, you'll do one and then we'll post it to Twitter. Something really crazy.
Okay. I'll do that.
The UK and NASA are now looking to collaborate on a tracking system for low-flying drones, both commercial and civilian drones. So they want to know where a drone is,
yes,
every drone is, at any given point in time, and be able to track that drone. That's the theory put forward out there, and they were trying to work together to think about how they could do this.
Some people would call an immediate privacy invasion.
Yes, that's exactly what they're doing. Things like this will be, you know, they've just proposed this. They like, we're having to think about this. That's crazy. Imagine trying to track every drone in the sky. You'd probably need some sort of GPS tracking
it's
and account linked
yeah.
up to you. And then maybe you'd have to register your drones through like a third party if you wanted to fly it. I think some organization, you'd register your account and they'd track it. And if you did anything illegal, they'd be able to tell exactly whose drone that was.
Well, it's no different to registration of vehicles and registration of planes.
You're going to have to be an aircraft pilot to fly a drone.
And being able to open an app and go, oh, look, there's that plane. That plane's from Albury and it's flying to Sydney.
And we see when the Pope, they're like, they banned drones from X amount of meters away from the Pope. Like they made it was like illegal. You couldn't fly drones near the Pope.
Didn't see that, but I can believe why, given the things that have gone on with those things.
It's going to be weird as drones become more and more sort of economically viable on a grander scale to the general consumer public, and then sort of the laws and regulations trying to restrict that access and the control over the access. So I think we're coming to that point. It's not quite there yet because I don't think, you know, everyone has a drone, but like eventually it will be so cheap and easy to own one. And I know the big appeal is for people with the DJ Phantom drones where you can put the camera on them and get some really beautiful aerial stuff. And once that becomes really affordable, say, you know, as much as an Apple Watch, you could have a drone in the sky, you know, I think a lot more people would get them. And then you have a lot more sort of privacy concerns. And it's going to be a mess. It's going to be an absolute mess.
I do see some nice use of these things.
The little
quad ones, the smaller variants that have got a basic camera on them. There's a group who a friend hangs around with that does racing around old
drone racing other drones or just time trials versus himself.
No, they're racing other drones.
Drone racing, illegal.
like in old buildings and stuff.
We're going to see Fast and the Furious type movies, but with drones. People piloting drones. Oh man, that's so funny. And then we like drone police, like with their big military drone with the guns on it, just going around shooting all the other drones down.
Ridiculous.
Apparently they do it working on tracking systems to sort of take down drones, other drones in the sky. And
well, I did hear this business of authorities being allowed to shoot down these things.
Yeah, it all became out a while ago when the drone blocked the fire. It was a fire,
yes.
And there was a helicopter coming to bomb that fire with water. And there was a drone in the flight path, and they had to delay the helicopter as fears of maybe causing an incident with the helicopter and also then destroying someone else's property and being sued.
Wasn't there multiple cases of fires over in the US where it's popping up
where they do it? Here's a bit of sad news. We don't normally like to have sad news, but this is one that was very close to your heart.
What's that?
And it's going to bring maybe a tear to your eye when you hear it. Microsoft's Zune
will be
shut down November 15th.
Uh-huh.
I'm sorry.
It hasn't done as well as it could have.
I know how invested you were in the Zune.
It's all right, buddy. I've got other platforms.
Shut down. They're finally shutting it down. November 15th. They called it a day. They tried to get into the music business when iPods were hot and things like this. Don't get an iPod, get a Zune. No one even knew what they were or what they did. I don't think maybe three people owned them because maybe, you know, a parent figure or a grandparent figure maybe bought one for you on Christmas and you're like, what is this? I wanted an iPod. And then you've never used it since. Maybe that's where all their sales came from. But shutting down officially November 15th. Are you sad to see it go?
No. Look, they tried. They tried, and I hand it to them for that, but at least they're pulling the pin while it's not killing them too much, because there's other things that company has been killed by that they didn't kill themselves.
Well, there you have it. Those were the quick headlines of the week. Those were the technology headlines of the week. Geddes, give me some quick headlines. There you go, quick headlines.
Quick headlines are wrapped.
Lots to come.
Yes.
Big things.
We're having fun with this.
Hot air balloons.
And that
we should do a podcast live
from a hot air balloon. We'd have to go to where would we go to do that?
Somewhere on the coast.
Canberra?
Yeah, maybe.
Canberra's got hot air balloons.
And beaches. No, they don't have beaches.
Canberra doesn't have beaches.
Yeah, maybe we could fly one over Parliament House.
And do a podcast live.
Probably wouldn't. Let us go over Parliament House.
It's 6:30 in the morning, checking out that awesome sunrise. Instead of checking out that awesome sunrise, we'd be talking technology up in the sky.
I don't think we'll be the first tech podcast to ever do it live from a hot air balloon.
Well, we could be.
Let's just say in Australia.
Let's
because there's some crazy people out there.
Let's get on Google and find out
We'll set some records. Maybe that could be a Guinness World Record. Maybe we could be the first podcast.
The first podcast recorded.
In a hot air balloon?
In a hot air balloon.
Would that be a thing?
I'll have to Google it.
It's not extreme, but
it's not absolutely extreme.
Okay, it would have to be something like the highest altitude.
Yeah.
Would be the highest recorded. The podcast recorded at the highest altitude.
Do you even feel comfortable with saying highest altitude? Because given that someone overseas could have, done something ridiculous.
I doubt, but who's podcasting from high altitudes?
I've got no idea.
No one. So we just need to sort of get up a bit, right?
And then, I suppose.
And then we'll be like that guy who did it from the Edge of Space guy, yes. The Red Bull.
Yeah, the Red Bull dude jumped out in that suit.
We'll eventually have to do that podcast from up there in one of those weather balloons.
Wow.
Well, that's it. Tech Wrap for another week, episode 11.
Tech Wrap is Tech Wrapped.
Yeah, make sure you follow us on Twitter at Tech Wrap Podcast and head over to the website, check it out, techwrap.net. And now on Omni, if you want to go around there, but you might get distracted by other people's content when you really just want to listen to us.
You can download the Omni app and have a look at it
focused.
Anyway, stay focused.
Check it out.
I haven't stayed focused in this episode, but I do promise you.
Distracted by all the colours and flashing lights in the studio.
Yes, next time. There is a next time. There is an episode 12.
Episode 12.
Next time.
Looking forward to it. We'll see you then.